You are glorious. You are the one and only. There is none like you. And we've come this morning through our prayer and through our worship and now time in the Word. We know you're ministering to us. We ask that you continue to speak to us this morning. God, we realize the scripture that you've given to us, it should be in all of our hearts right now. For God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love him, those who are called according to his purposes. Today, it's your goodwill and your purpose for us to be here. God, bless each family, every member listening. We pray, God, for a great work of the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. I would say be seated, but you probably already are at home. We're going to look in our Bibles right now into the book of Acts. We've been going through the book of Acts for about 60 weeks, about a year and 3 months, and we're in the last chapter, chapter 28. And this morning we're thinking about the title, When Tested by Fire. And in Acts chapter 28, verse 1, the Bible says, "Now when they had escaped, they found out that the island was called Malta, and the natives showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold." Verse 3, "But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, 'No doubt this man's a murderer, and whom though he has escaped the sea, yet justice shall not allow him to live.' But Paul shook off the creature into the fire, and he suffered no harm. However, they were expecting that he would swell up or suddenly fall down dead. Well, after that, they looked for a long time and saw no harm to come to him. They changed their mind, and they said to Paul, 'You must be a god, small g.'" This morning, as we look into the Word of God, some of us haven't been able to be with us in the last couple of weeks. So what happened is that Paul has been on a journey. He's on his way to Rome. I want you to know, in my study and research, it seems as though after the third missionary journey, sometime in that time on that trip, he had already written Romans, the book of Romans, Paul did, but he said that he longed to see the believers in Rome. And so that might have been around 3 years earlier. He longed to see them. I want you to know right now, it's only been a couple of weeks, but I long to see you. I can't wait until we are back together, fellowshipping with one another. I told our serving team today, the first Sunday back during our greeting time, we're going to take a lot of time. We must get caught up. But I know that some of you are already staying in touch. You're contacting one another, using your social devices or phone. Some of you have even written a handwritten letter. Good for you. But stay in touch with one another. Use this time to build one another up. Use this time to be a blessing to your family. Use this time to let your marriage grow strong together. Imagine that. Put down the social devices. Not right now. Keep watching. But later on, begin to build those family relationships. What I'm saying is, Paul longed in his heart to see the believers in Rome. And what we're seeing is how this is going to take place, how this journey will take place. There's things that are in your heart. They're strong in your heart. There's things that God has said to you. You feel confident. And yet they haven't taken place. Be encouraged. God is at work. What I find many times is he's actually working in me. He's preparing me to be in the place I need to be in when he answers those prayers. Again, when we see in Acts chapter 28 and in verse 1, it says, "Now when they had escaped," and you're thinking, what happened? Well, you see, they were on a ship and they were going from Caesarea to go to Rome. It should have been easy sailing. But unfortunately, when they should have stayed in port on the island of Crete, some of the leadership team decided to go down about 40 miles and port there for the winter. It had better entertainment. But the winds came up and it drove this ship about 600 miles away from their destination on the island of Crete. 600 miles. In 2 of those weeks, 2 weeks at sea, it was completely dark. There was no sun and there were no stars at night, just a ferocious storm. So much so that they were certain it would be the end of their life. As a matter of fact, it's recorded for us specifically what they were thinking about at this time earlier in Acts chapter 27, but it begins to tell us what they thought would be taking place. Actually, in Acts 27, verse 20, you might notice what it says. It says in Acts 27, 20, that they lost all hope that they would be saved. It was a hopeless situation. The ship was falling apart. They put cables underneath it to support it. Darkness. My friends, right now, our president and other leaders have said to us, it takes about a 2 week period of time right now before we really find out some of the important information regarding the extent of this virus. How deep is it affecting our nation? It's a 2 week period of time. So in a sense, we're in a 2 week period of time of uncertainty. We don't see things we'd like to see. We don't know things we'd like to know. It's like they were on the ship headed for a destination, but they weren't sure if they were ever going to get there. And they lost all hope. And I know that right now, many people are feeling hopeless. You're feeling discouraged because of the uncertainty and the things that you would like to know, but we don't know yet. That's hard, and I understand that. It's rearranged your life. It's rearranged your schedule. It's rearranged your responsibilities. Some have lost jobs. Some are laid off. And there's the financial concern as well. We understand that. But I want you to know that God knows exactly where we're at. And so when these people, they lost all hope, what are they going to do? And I want you to know that you're going to have your own story to tell. We're on that ship right now. We're in the middle of that 2 week period of time. You're going to have a testimony. You're going to have a story to tell. These people on the ship were helpless and hopeless, but in verse 25 of chapter 27, it tells us, "Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that he will be just, and it will be just as he told me." And I want to say this today from God's word. It's not a pastor trying to flatter or patronize anybody. God is saying from his word, take heart. We need to take heart. And taking heart means we come to a place where we need to trust him like never before. You trusted him for your salvation. Now we need to trust him for his daily provision, his hand upon our lives. I say again from God's word, the scriptures, take heart, be encouraged. As they were taking heart, Paul said in verse 29 of, again, chapter 27, just a quick overview, they were fearing lest they should run on the ground in the rocks. They dropped four anchors from the stern, and they prayed for day to come. They wanted to see daylight, and it's a good thing. We should be praying like never before. Prayer should become a part of our life like never before. We should stop, instead of going to devices or other things, pray. And we want to pray. We say, God, be a comfort. God, be an encourager. In the prayer earlier, God, help find answers to what's going on. Pray that God will strengthen your heart. Pray that he will encourage you so you can encourage others. In verse 33 of chapter 27, Paul said, it's been 14 days and no one has eaten anything. And so you want to, there's some practical things right now. You need to be strong. You need to be healthy. When you get worried, you get upset, you get stressed out, stress can cause more of a problem to your body than a virus can. So, my friends, in a practical way, eat well. Take care of yourself. Why? Because we're going to need that kind of strength for what's ahead. Big days are ahead, and we need to have that strength from God. It tells us that, and this is one to underline, in verse 36, then they were all encouraged, and they took food for themselves, and there was 276 people on the ship. Again, just noticing from our scriptures, in verse 20, they lost all hope. And that tells us in verse 36, they were all encouraged. So I don't know what condition you were in when you began listening to this ministry this morning, just a half hour ago, but maybe very down, maybe very discouraged. I pray in a short period of time that you would feel very encouraged, that you would feel hopeful in God. He has things under control. He's going to see us through. We're going to make it. But the thing is this, and I have heard many people, and they're very sincere, and I think they're very right in what they're saying. What they'll say is, to you and to me, we're going to get through this. We're going to get through this. And that's a good statement to say. It's positive, and it's accurate, and it's right. When someone says, we're going to get through this, you feel encouraged. They're all right. When someone says, we're going to get through this, you feel a part of a team and part of, okay, we're going to get through this. We, plural, together, we're going to get through this. And it's very true. But listen, the other point I'd like to make is, what does God want to do in me during this time? So we are going to get through it, but I don't want to forfeit what needs to be done in my life right now from God, what He's wanting to say to me, what He's wanting to do. So we want to get through this, and we will get through this, but don't forfeit, listen now, don't forfeit the spiritual gain. There's something of great value that God wants to do. Remember, I said the message is called When Tested by Fire. Fire is used over precious jewels, gold, and the heat of that fire brings things to the surface that need to be removed, and that what you have is something. Because of the heat, you have something of great value. We're feeling the heat right now. You're feeling the heat in your life. But wait, watch. There are things in our life that need to rise to the surface to be removed so that there's something of purity and of value. God values you, and there's things in your life that He is going to give and is giving to you. He's making in you things of great value. And that which He gives to you is going to be a blessing to others. I must apologize. I was actually rude to a person on the phone this week. We've had a series of phone calls, and I have no excuse for being rude. I can tell that I was just, it was over the top. I was frustrated. Again, no excuse. It was my bad. And unfortunately, you know, I just feel terrible about that. But afterwards, I realized, God, you just exposed what's in my heart. And I didn't like what I heard and saw from my heart. I didn't use bad language, but I was missing what we're going to talk about next. There was something missing in my life, and I don't want it to be missing anymore. You see, after this all took place, and they were going to take the ship in, there was a land mass, an island. They didn't know what the name of it was. It wasn't on their maps, their charts. They could see it. They had a game plan. They're going to get the ship in position. They're going to use the force of the wind behind it. And they're going to run this ship, loaded with grain and everything else, into this island. They're going to land on the beach. That's the plan. Everybody was on board for that. There were some people that wanted to leave the ship. They were working the ship. They were on the ship working the ship. And they wanted to leave. And Paul said, don't. You cannot leave. God spoke to me, and God said, everybody must stay on the ship. Everybody's going to get to land safely. And so the captain of the ship, the commander, the centurion, he cut the skiff off. It was like a lifeboat. He just let it go. And he told those others, get back on board right here. Listen, don't get off the ship. You need to stay on board. We need to stay together. Things can get more difficult, and may, they certainly may. And there'd be the sense of, hey, I'm just out of here. I'm done with it. If this is what God's going to do, then I'm done. Don't do that. Stay on board. Stay on board. Stay with the fellowship. Stay in fellowship with God. Don't get discouraged. Don't listen to other voices. Don't get too OD'd on media. Take in God's word. He's going to see us through. We're going to get to where we need to be. As a matter of fact, when I was thinking about that, the question that came to mind, and that I'm asking myself, but maybe I'll propose the same question to you. What I wrote down is, what does it take for God to get me where he wants me to be? Listen, what does it take for God to get me where he wants me to be? So Paul says, I want to be in Rome. I want to go to the church in Rome. I believe that's a God-given, a Holy Spirit-inspired desire. That's where I want to be. So why can't it happen right now? I've taken missionary trips. Because there's something that God still needs to do. There's something that God wants to do. What do you mean? So Paul said, I want to go to Rome. I believe God's on board with that. But it didn't happen right away. Why? Well, let's walk through this with me. Because there was a gift of money that Paul had collected from the Gentile churches on his last missionary trip. The church in Jerusalem, there was a famine. They were in great need. And so since Paul had a gift, he went to Jerusalem. If he never went to Jerusalem, they never would have received the gift. If they never received the gift, they never would have received the blessing of the gift and the love of the Gentiles for them. If they never received the blessing of the gift, there would have never been the animosity against them. And because there was animosity against them, Paul was arrested. Because Paul was arrested, he had to face trial. And because Paul had to face trial, he had to see a governor called Felix. And when he was done seeing Felix, he saw another governor called Festus. And these two men couldn't resolve what was going on. And because he saw Felix and Festus, it meant he'd have to see another one, a king, King Agrippa, and his wife Bernice. And so they had a big gathering. And in this big gathering, Paul presented Christ to all the royalty, to all the military, and to the people there. He presented Christ. And because he presented Christ and he says, I appeal to Rome, they said, you're going to get to go to Rome. And because he's going to get to go to Rome, he's going to go on this ship. And because he gets to go on the ship, because he gets to go to Rome, he gets to take a trip. And he's meeting the captain of the ship, Julius. And he had great favor. He liked Paul. And when they docked in Crete and tried to move down, Paul said, don't do it. I've heard from God. It's not a good thing, but they did it. And then they were 600 miles in the dark at sea. Because of that, then they asked Paul, what should we do? And Paul says, listen, everybody's defeated on this ship. 276, including Paul. 275, he goes, God spoke to me. And God spoke to me, and he says, we're going to make it. God spoke to me. We all need to be in this together. God's going to see us through. Eat up. Ready. Because he was able to do that, they were strengthened. Because they were strengthened, they're going to have to swim to shore. Because the boat didn't make it into shore. It hit a sandbar out from the island. And when it hit the sandbar, the ship fell apart. And when it fell apart, anybody that can swim in the water first, and then the soldiers said, no, wait a minute, we're going to kill the prisoners. And the commander, Julius, because of his love for Paul, because of all the things that happened, says, absolutely not. Put it away. And they all then went swimming to shore, or they floated on broken pieces of the ship, and they landed onto the beach. And that brings us actually to chapter 28. But you see, what I'm saying is I had a gift. The gift had to go to Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, there was confrontation. There was talking to kings and governors. There was a gathering on a ship. The ship is going. Now Paul has 275 people to speak to about the gospel. Paul's going to land on this island. That's not Rome. It's Malta. Paul's going to stay 3 months in Malta, and we're going to learn today the things that took place. He's eventually going to get to Rome. What I'm saying is, what is it that God needs to do in my life right now to get me to the place that he wants me to be for what he's preparing for me? This time right now that we're in, friends, this time right now that our nation is in because of the virus and everything else that apart, this time that we're in, God is going to use this time, and he is using this time to develop in us what he wants to do within us. He wants us to trust him. My friends, it's very clear There's an appointed time where Jesus Christ is coming back. Amen? We say Maranatha. That means, Lord, come quickly. We don't know when, but he can come back at any time. I'm not saying that this is the spark that is for that. What I'm saying is we're seeing how does a nation and how does a world react during a time of a crisis. And my friends, it's time for us as the body of believers, as the church, followers of Jesus Christ, it's time for us to be different. Look up, our hope is in him. He has everything under control. Back into our text in chapter 28, when we read what happened. So when they escaped and they were on this island called Malta, it says in verse 2 that the natives showed us unusual kindness. Now, when we see natives, in your mind, you're thinking of somebody with a painted face, hardly any clothes on, and a spear in their hand. Perhaps that's what you're thinking about. That's not it. Also, in your text, it could say barbarian, and then that has a connotation. Simply speaking, for those that didn't speak Greek and weren't for the Roman Empire, didn't speak Greek, they were labeled a barbarian. And some people say it's because of the language they did speak. It sounded more like bar, 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 bar. We say today, blah, 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 blah. But that's how the name apparently came into existence. And so what we see is these people are there. Can you imagine? This is a small island, maybe 12 miles long. I'm not sure. Perhaps 8 miles wide, very small. And can you imagine? It's this storm. They face this storm. They hear noise out there, a ship. You got 276 people on a ship, and it's broken up, and they're all swimming into shore. What are you going to do? And what a blessing, because it says they showed kindness. They showed kindness. And what kind of kindness? It was an unusual type of kindness. And I like to say right now, what's going to make a difference in your life and my life right now is to show unusual kindness. This time that we're living in, to show unusual kindness. What's that mean? That means, I know I've been waiting in line for a while, but if you needed to go in front of me, you can. That would be called unusual kindness. So how is unusual kindness spoken about in the Bible? In Titus 3:4, it says, but when the kindness and the love of God our Savior appeared towards men, God, he shows us unusual kindness. Do you not despise, at a Romans 2:4, the goodness, forbearance, long-suffering, knowing that the goodness or the kindness of God leads us to repentance. These natives showed unusual kindness. They were not followers of Jesus Christ. This is an island that is going to become believers in Christ Jesus. They lived under superstition and other mythological types of beliefs. In my recent search, I was wondering about Malta today. And they say that over 90% of the island, small island, over 90% confess the Christian faith at this time. Amazing. When Paul was there, no one knew anything about it. You know, there's family members and friends, people you love, people you care about, and you have been praying for them, loving them, and serving them. But could it be, during this time, the unusual kindness that you're able to show them, going out of your way, caring for them? Perhaps it's at this time. I'm praying for that. I'm praying that this is the time that, listen now, you may be listening, and you may be a person that is like I'm going to describe, because I understand it. Jesus had spoken about prodigals. A prodigal means somebody that's been around the Christian faith. You've known Christ. You grew up with Christ, knowing him. You were probably in some youth groups, maybe mission trips, but something happened, and you've departed from the faith. Your heart isn't for God. It's not that you're an atheist right now, by any means. It's just that you've distanced yourself. And your life that you're living is more consumer-oriented than thinking about the things of God. Prodigal means wasted living. And right now, you may find yourself in a place of wasting your life. I mean, you could be working hard, you have a good job, a good income, taking care of your responsibilities, but in terms of substance, in terms of the things that matter, in terms of the things that matter for eternity, it would be considered wasteful living. And God very well could be using this time to say, I'm waiting for you. And you would turn your heart. The Bible says you come to your senses. You realize, what am I doing? And you head back, and you will be greeted by the incredible love of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Or perhaps you're like me. I was 25 years old before I really came to a saving faith in Christ. People would ask me, do you believe in God? Yes. Do you believe in the Bible? Yes. Do you believe in Jesus? Yes. Do you believe that he died and rose again from the dead? Yes, of course. But just because I believe that intellectually, it hadn't affected my heart. There's a distance between my head and my heart. And the Bible says to love God with all your heart. At 25, that took place for me because I realized I was a sinner, and I needed God's forgiveness, and I need the forgiveness of other people. So during this time, perhaps that's what's happening. Perhaps you find yourself not on the island of Malta, but in a place. And perhaps you are kind, and perhaps you show unusual kindness. But it's time to receive the kindness of God towards you. It tells us in Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, and kindness. That's when the Holy Spirit lives within your life. Colossians 3:12 says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies and kindness. See how important kindness is? Here are these natives. Unusual kindness. And what did they do? These people were freezing. They were coming from the water. They were capsized, swimming in all kinds of different times, swimming in. Some were swimming, some were floating. They made this huge bonfire. Nothing feels better than a bonfire, right? I mean, when you get around a bonfire, and then when the fire starts to go out, what you do is like, where's the wood? And you want that fire strong, burning bright, on fire. And Paul was just the same. Paul said, I'm going to do this. And so he looked for fuel for the fire, branches, wood, and he was carrying them to the fire. And I must say, here's the Apostle Paul. It was his leadership on the boat that saved all these people. And he's on the shore, and what you see is a humble servant of Jesus. He wasn't saying, I'm looking for robes and a chair to sit in because of what I did. He said, I want to make these people warm. I'm bringing wood to the fire. You know, it's interesting. Do you not like a nice, hot fire, a campfire? We have a fire pit at our house, and everybody loves it. And it starts to go out, put more wood on. But here's an interesting thought. Within the Christian life, God wants us to be together. That's why this time is hard. In all of my Christian life, this is the first time, and I hope it's the last time that I say you can't come here because of the regulations. Who would have thought? I mean, even a couple months ago, if someone would say, all the churches in the United States, you cannot have people come anymore. It's like, what are you talking about? But that's where we're at. But we're longing for fellowship. So if you have a fire and you put wood on, but friends, when the fire starts to go out and you're putting it out and you separate the coals and the wood from one another and they go out, it's no longer warm. It's no longer fun to be out there at all. And in the body of Christ, listen now, in the body of Christ, listen, many up until now have chosen to be away from one another. I'm praying through this time, ignited a new fire in our hearts to be together, to be burning for the Lord together, to be on fire for God. That's my prayer. I believe God will answer that prayer. That's on his heart. So Paul gathered these sticks, and what had happened, you see in verse 3, there was a viper and it attached himself to his hand. And the natives, they saw this happening before their very eyes in verse 4, and they came to a conclusion. And the conclusion was, if this person, Paul, got bit by a viper, and a viper is a poisonous, deadly snake, it means that he's a murderer and he's deserving of death. So even though he survived the sea, the justice on the land with the viper biting him, justice will rule. And Paul, you're dead. You're a murderer. That's what they said to him, right? But just think of Paul. He would say, if you only knew, because he murdered Stephen, and he murdered many more. He truly was a murderer. And how his heart must have been tender before God. How he must have realized, you know, I am deserving of death. But Paul did what Paul does. He just shook that viper, and into the fire it went. And everybody looked, because you got a few minutes here and you're going to be dead with that venom. And he wasn't. And he was just as live and vibrant. And they said, you're not a murderer. You're God. And it's interesting how quick public opinion can change. People can judge you, and they'll say things about you, think things about you. So I think the viper was from Satan. And here's the thing. If you choose to serve God, if you want to be a humble servant of God, you're going to be attacked spiritually, and you'll be attacked from other people as well. You will be attacked spiritually, and you'll be attacked from other people as well. If you desire to serve God, if you desire to say, God, I got this message today about being unusually kind. I want to accelerate in kindness towards one another. And you purpose in your heart not to gain anything from anybody, but just to please God. Be assured there will be opposition. There'll be spiritual opposition. You'll even think, this is what I'm going to do. And you got something all set together to go bring it somewhere, and you get a flat tire on the way. You think, oh, what's going on? What's happening? There is opposition towards it. Some other people think, well, what are you doing? And they criticize you or whatever else. You know what you need to do? And the same thing I need to do? Shake it off. Shake it off. Shake it off. Just be about the Father's business. Shake it off. And it says in verse 6, they were expecting that he would swell up or suddenly, and we realize he didn't. In verse 7, it says, in that region there was an estate of leading citizens of the island, and that leader was Publius, who had received us and entertained us and was courteous for 3 days. And it happened that the father of this man lay sick with a fever and dysentery. And this dysentery also may have been from an animal, from a goat, from goat's milk. And it's something that one could die over. And Paul went into him, and he prayed, and he laid hands on him, and he healed him. In verse 9, and when this was done, those on the island who were diseased also came and were healed. And they honored us in many ways. And when we departed, they provided such things as were necessary. So here's the thing. In our Bible teaching today, in our message, we realize that there are storms happening in our lives right now. Vicious storms. Storms that we never thought would be a part of our lives. And there's decisions and choices that people need to make, you need to make, I need to make. Some people want to bail out. Stay with us. That's what the word is. Stay with us. God's going to see us through. He's going to see us through. He's using this time to make us more like Him. He's using this time to cause us to surrender to Him. He's using this time to bring us to a point where we need to be. Because, my friends, God wants to reach the world. Jesus Christ came to reach the world. But perhaps His church has been sleeping spiritually a little bit too much. Perhaps we need to wake up. Perhaps we need to be fervent and on fire for the heart of God. God, I want the heart that you have for this world. So perhaps he's using this time to stir us up, to build us up, to bring us up to a point. So when things are changing and moving ahead, there are people whose hearts are ready, whose hearts have become tender during this time. You know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. More people are listening now online to messages like this and others. And when you hear God's word, it stirs you up. And it says, yes, it's true. God is alive. He does love me. He is there for me. He will forgive me. Your future could be uncertain, but as a believer and follower of Christ, it's absolutely certain. In 1978, my future became certain. I accepted Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, as many as believed in him, to them he called children of God. And it says, this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life. This life is in his Son. So he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. Then it says, I've written these things that you may know that you have eternal life. My friends, we should all know what our eternal destination is. So now I'm at God's, you know, whatever you want to do, God, in me. Listen, a couple minutes here. Here's a very important question. Would you consider yourself as a follower of Jesus Christ, a pioneer for Christ? A pioneer. One just ready to do whatever God has, go wherever he wants, just being available, being a pioneer for God. Or would you consider yourself at this time a Christian tourist? In other words, you're a believer, but you're just kind of taking a tour through life and not committed to the things of God. The Lord Jesus gave an illustration. He said that looking at the wheat, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground, it's buried and it dies, it will never bring forth anything. But if it is buried and dies, it'll bring forth life and it'll bring forth fruit. My friends, I believe that God is talking to you and to me. There's things in my life that need to die. And God will bring forth fruit that gives him glory. My friends, we saw a storm at sea. We saw a shipwreck. We saw people landing on the beach. We saw people taking care of them. They stayed there for 3 months. The place came alive for God and for Jesus. Paul was used by God. Even though he had the physician Luke with him, God worked supernaturally through Paul, and he healed. God's still healing. If you're sick, ask God for healing. If you're not sick, ask God to keep you from getting sick. They talk about a curve with the virus. I'm just praying that God, even though they have their charts and legitimate statistics, I'm calling out to you to say, God, bring it down and move it out. ASAP, right now. We believe God can do that. My friends, through all of this, will God be glorified? Will God be glorified? Will God be the one to say he gave me hope and encouragement? Will be the ones to say he rearranged my life? I was, in a sense, shipwrecked and desperate and wondering if I'm even going to make it, and God did so much more. God wants to take you to a new destination. Eventually, he'll take us home to heaven, but he has something next for you and for me. Something he has prepared for each of us. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful for your word. And Father, thank you that you use fire to purify. And Father, fire to test us. And fire to make us into the men and women and the boys and girls that are committed to your purposes and your causes. I pray, God, for each of us, even right now. Lord, if I have selfish ambitions, I need to die to them. If I've been pursuing things of this world and not pursuing you, I ask your forgiveness in that, Lord. If I'm not loving you with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength, then I'm certainly not loving others. Father, I ask your forgiveness for being unkind. I want to be somebody that shows unusual kindness all the time. And I know I'm not alone. So, Father, pour your Holy Spirit upon us. If you're listening and wondering, how do I have a relationship with God? It's very simple. You understand He's perfect and you're not. You understand that He died on the cross for your sins. He rose again from the dead and He's alive. And He's offering you forgiveness for your sins. So you would say, I am the sinner. I'm the one wrong. You're right. Please forgive me. And thank you for giving me your rightness or your righteousness. May God bless you. May God encourage you today and this week. If there's any way we can be of help, any practical way, if there's prayer requests that you have our website, calvarynw.com. You can communicate with us that way. And we just want to be here and be available to help you any way possible. So thank you for listening. We're going to be here on Wednesday night. We're looking at the way Jesus changes everything, and I hope you can join us then. Thanks again, and may God bless you. Father, we do pray for just this time together, and Lord, it's in your hands. And thank you for the many, many other ministries. We pray, God, we need what is communicated to be watered by you. We pray, God, that you'd give it the increase. We pray against any spiritual attacks or battles. Guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for the team of people here today and the blessing they are to me personally. God, we ask that good things, great things, wonderful things will be accomplished. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.